Welcome back to Coming Home Well. I'm your host, Tyler Piron. And as always, for Straight to the Point, we have Dr. Paul Lawrence, the former Undersecretary for Benefits at the Veterans Affairs. And this time, we are going to continue the conversation a little bit about what the heck do you do when your family member, the veteran, passes away. Paul, what is something that we should also know? I know the people can go look at the old clip, the previous Straight to the Point, but there's a lot more to this.
Certainly. That last clip, what we talked about is the importance of telling your family about your benefits. So if you're the veteran in this example we're about ready to talk, they know. But one of the frequent questions I get from family members is either my veteran has passed or what happens if he, in this example, passes, right? And so kind of the first question they're sort of interested in, does his disability compensation continue? Okay, that's sort of the first thing, because as we talked about last time, it could be a function, a big chunk of the budget. And so the answer is no, okay? But the real question about there, I think they're really asking is, do I get any benefits? And the answer can be yes under certain circumstances, depending upon how your veteran died, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But one of the benefits you and I ended on was something called DIC, Dependency Indemnity Compensation, which is why everyone calls it DIC, which is essentially benefits to the spouse, children, and even parents under certain circumstances around the veteran's death, right? And the easiest way to think about it is that death is related to something he was service connected for, right? So got exposed to Agent Orange during Vietnam, dies from one of the cancers that are recognized as one of the conditions you get from that. So you'd be eligible for DIC. Now, the last thing on this one before I let you know is it's really, really important. So now we're into just the mechanics of this, that you pay attention to what gets written on the death certificate, right? So if someone dies, you get a certificate. So I went and looked at our state in Virginia, about two-thirds of the way down, there's a whole block called cause of death. And it's not check the box. It's an essay kind of thing. You got to write stuff in. The main cause and underlying cause. Obviously, it'll be easier for you to say that my veteran died of service-connected condition if it is written in the cause of death. So I know it's really hard while you're grieving. I know it's really hard, but that's important. And if it isn't gotten right, you might have to loop back through that. So that's the first answer to what might be available for me if my veteran passes.
So for instance, if I had a heart attack and it wasn't necessarily related directly, but the reason I had a heart condition is I had some other condition that was service connected.
Right.
You'd make sure they annotate that on the death record, on the death certificate. So then it's a lot easier for the VA to say, yes, that was related to the service connection.
Yeah. And where this really came to light is during the period when everyone was passing with COVID, right? Mm-hmm. So was it they passed with COVID or they passed because of COVID, right? So the whole conversation was no. In your example, could have died of a heart attack, which was a function of high blood pressure, which came from Agent Orange. And oh, by the way, he had COVID when he died, right? So it's kind of a little bit of the details here, but this planning is really important because it'll save you headaches in the long run.
And a lot of money probably as well.
Yeah, frustration. Now, the other thing is, if you don't qualify for DIC, you may also qualify for survivor's pension. Remember, if your veteran served during certain periods of time, and your assets are below a certain number, I think it's about $150,000, you could qualify this for survivor's pension in this example. And again, a lot of the assets are exempt from this computation. So not your car, not your home, and certain other things. So 150 becomes a much more manageable number, under those circumstances. So again, there are benefits available for the surviving spouse in this example, but again, they're generally less than disability compensation if right. He, in this example, was, above 50%. That's a rule of thumb, but obviously you'll research this, get help from your VSO, whatever, and you'll see this.
So if they're 100%, does anything change in this calculus?
No, other than the fact that at 100%, which is now almost $4,000 a month, DIC could be as much as half of that or as little as half of that.
Okay. Does that enable people to get, is there any, it's got to be service connected if they're 100%. If I recall, there's some rule about that.
There are rules. So if you're 100%, this is really in the weeds. So we're not going to get this right. But if they're 100% for certain periods of time, 5 years, 10 years, and they passed, it doesn't matter that if it was related to the service connection, right?
Gotcha. So, yeah. That's what I was looking for. That's what I sort of remembered. So what else should we know?
Well, there's a couple other things, right? It has to deal with veteran passing, okay? So there's sort of some scenarios, right? Veteran passes, and oh, by the way, just shortly before he passes, gets a letter from VA saying, hey, your claim has been approved and normally would give you a retro payment of some thousands of dollars, okay? Well, that's what's called an accrued benefit. And the surviving spouse, in our example, can fill out a form and get the accrued benefit. So even though it was earmarked to John Smith, Jane Smith can get this. So it's called accrued benefit. Mm-hmm. Okay. And there's a special form you can do that. It's pretty straightforward. Okay. So that's like one of these things where it's sort of in flight, if you will. And my claim was approved. The veteran passed before I got it all settled out. Okay. Accrued benefit.
And this could be one of the cases where it's a long period of time. It's been appealed a number of things and they pass in the interim. They still were owed that money.
Right. So it's been resolved. Now, this is a little bit of a nuance here. There's also a scenario you're sort of getting at, which is the claim is in the process of being done, but it's not done. Mm-hmm. Okay. It could be just an original claim. It could be claim for increase, but it also could be like you just pointed out, Tyler, back and forth appeals, remand appeals, whatever. Okay. You can do what's called a substitution or substitute claim. Okay. So the spouse can fill out a form and now become the person who substitutes for the veteran who's passed and can work with the VA to provide needed information and complete the claim. Okay. So the conversation about my veteran passing normally goes to what benefits are there, these different benefits as opposed to disability compensation. But there's also some nuances around accrued benefits and substitute claim, right? So it's kind of completes the conversation of how to either close out or resolve all the things related to your veteran.
So as always, the best thing to do is go reach out to your VSO or local VSO, Veteran Service Organization. Is there any need to get a lawyer, any sort of complication like that?
No, there shouldn't be, right? You can always get a lawyer if you feel like doing this, right? I mean, I think the conversation we're having now is there is no cost assistance for dealing with the VA if you're a veteran or a family member, right? As you pointed out, VSO, state VSO, county VSO, wherever, Wounded Warrior, DAV, American Legion, all great. You can, however, choose to pay people to do this, right? This is America, okay? And if that's what you're prone to do, that's all right. You just be aware of all the options, okay? So there shouldn't be anything. I think the big thing we continue to come at is like, it's so much better to know about these things in advance. Because again, mm-hmm. the example I'm talking about is like you're grieving. You want to go dig on around on the death certificate. It's just really one of those things.
It's a little morbid, but you got to have those things in mind. Yeah. Just like any sort of death planning, the more you do in advance, the less stress it is on your family afterwards.
Well, that's a good point, right? End-of-life planning is incredibly uncomfortable, but the survivors, in this example, the spouse, right, the wife, will be so much better off having done this, right? So it's really one of these hard things to imagine, but, you know, if you care about them, you really don't want to, you know, stick this on them, so to speak.
Yeah, they're dealing with your loss. And if you're not prepared, it's all new and you don't even know to ask in a lot of cases.
Right.
So that's why, hey, go read Paul's book, Veterans Benefits. It's out. I think it's on the table behind him. It's an excellent primer on a lot of the benefits that are available and sort of the steps you got to take. There's a lot of charts and things like that. It's a great reference guide, but also go reach out to your local VSO. But more importantly, talk to your veteran about, hey, what are you getting benefits for? Well, what kind of disabilities you have? Those are sort of the conversations that you need to have so you're prepared. Paul, I'd leave you with the last word. Is there anything else that we should know?
No, follow up on that. And also not only what benefits, where are your medical records? Because this is going to be important too if I have to deal with anything. So yeah, no, really, really good summary, Tyler.
As always, we've been straight to the point. Paul, thank you so much for joining us on Coming Home Well.
Thank you, Tyler.